You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Thank you very much. My name is Richard Bush. I'm a senior fellow here at the Brookings Institution. I'm also proud to hold the Junfu and Cecilia Yenggu Chair in Taiwan Studies here at Brookings. I'm very happy to welcome all of you here today to this program on Taiwan and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Issues and Opportunities. TPP is a strategic initiative for renovating the economic architecture of the Asia-Pacific. It's a central element of President Obama's rebalancing strategy. So the purpose of today's session is to explore different dimensions of Taiwan's participation in TPP. And we're pleased to convene this program today. We'll have a couple of panels later in the session. My colleague Joshua Meltzer, who is a fellow in our Global Economic and Development Program, will chair the first panel on the imperative of economic liberalization. I will chair the second panel on domestic and external obstacles to liberalization. Josh and I have collaborated on a series of research papers on these subjects. But to frame our discussion, Brookings as an institution and Josh and I personally are deeply honored that the Honorable Vincent Hsiao will give this afternoon's keynote address. Mr. Hsiao needs no introduction to most of the people in this audience. He has played a central role in crafting Taiwan's economic strategy for several decades. During the 1990s, he was Minister of Economic Affairs, Chairman of the Council of Economic Planning and Development, Chairman of the Mainland Affairs Council, a member of the Legislative Yuan, and Premier. His most recent official position was as Vice President of the Republic of China, which he held from 2008 to 2012. So he's served Taiwan and its people for a long, long time, and very well also. Since stepping down from that post in May of last year, Vincent has worked tirelessly to promote Taiwan's growth and prosperity domestically, vis-a-vis mainland China, and internationally. In this mission, he has worked closely with Taiwan's private sector, and he's accompanied today by some really prominent members of the Taiwan business community. So, in my humble opinion, there's no better person than Vincent Hsiao to speak on the pressing issue of Taiwan and TPP. And it's with great pleasure that I welcome you to Brookings today. Please join me in conveying that welcome.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for your kind introduction. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure to be here today. Today I want to speak with you about the strategic implication of Taiwan's participation in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. But my concern is much broader. The fundamental purpose of our visit is to bring Taiwan back to Washington's attention. To say that Taiwan has been the staunchest ally of the United States in East Asia is an understatement. For the fundamental values that everyone associates with the United States, including democratic political institutions and a liberal economic system, Taiwan embraces and amplifies, and today is a strong defender of such principles within its region. Regretfully, It is now that not at all unusual to hear doubts about whether the United States still cherish a partner and a friend as loyal as Taiwan. And the doubts emerge with good reason. The United States has now slipped to third in importance among Taiwan's major trade partners, lagging behind mainland China and Japan. An even clearer but worrisome indicator comes from a recent HSBC's report, which finds the economies of Taiwan and the United States have essentially decoupled. According to this research, before 2008, a 1% increase in U.S. GDP would cause a 6% increase in Taiwan's export. But now the linkage is no longer significant. In comparison, a 1% increase in mainland China's GDP now would cause a 3.8% increase in Taiwan's exports. For the two once close partners, this recent development is truly unfortunate. But I must ask frankly, does the United States really care about the state of affairs in the U.S.-Taiwan relations? Our presence here and the people accompanying me show that Taiwan cares greatly about our fading linkage with the United States. Our delegation is composed of business leaders from top Taiwanese companies, all of which have close business relations with the United States and have also have business branches across East Asia. The goal of our U.S. trip is simple but significant. We wish to be kinder, a dynamic and close U.S.-Taiwan partnership by demonstrating Taiwan's dedication to our long-standing ties with the United States and to ensure Taiwan's inclusion in Washington's policy debates. Taiwan is facing a very difficult economic and strategic challenges, many of which our U.S. friends, such as Richard Bush and Kirk Campbell, and many of you who are in this room, have skillfully articulated during discussion in both Taipei and Washington. Due to the difficult international political reality facing Taiwan, Taiwan is excluded from the major regional trade agreement being formulated in Asia, and as a result, risk being economically marginalized. It is noteworthy that in 2010, Taiwan signed an Economic Cooperation Framework Agreement, or ECFA, with mainland China. The ECFA opens up the enormous Chinese market to Taiwanese businesses, but without access to other trade agreements, Taiwan's external trade and economic relations remain highly dependent and imbalanced toward integration with mainland China. while facing diminishing ties with the rest of the world. I suggest this trend runs very much counter to U.S. interest in Asia. The risk of Taiwan's marginalization undermines people's confidence on our long-term economic prospects and discourage domestic and foreign direct investment in Taiwan. At a time when Taiwan depends on such investments to improve its export competitiveness by moving to production of higher value-added goods and services, we believe this economic strategy will help us in tackling the triple challenges of slow economic growth, stagnating wage increase, and deteriorating income inequality. When advocating U.S. strategy of rebalancing towards Asia, former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton acknowledged that Taiwan for decades has been a faithful democratic ally of the United States. It remains an important economic and security partner in the Asian Pacific. If Washington means what it says, it makes perfect sense to incorporate Taiwan into the TPP that forms the economic pillar of this U.S. rebalancing strategy. This is so for two reasons. First, Taiwan's economy is facing a particularly challenging period of transition, one in which our membership in TPP would provide Taiwan with a strong external stimulus and vehicle for carrying out our structured reforms and rebuilding people's confidence in Taiwan's economic prospects. By taking steps to liberalize our market and renew economic confidence, we can attract the investments that are critical to Taiwan's long-term economic competitiveness. Second, Taiwan's geographical location at the center of East Asia and its shared cultural background with mainland China, as well as our strong tradition of rule of law, all contribute to making Taiwan a highly favorable access point for companies from our major trading partners to tap into mainland China's market. Recognizing Taiwan's advantages, Tokyo signed a bilateral investment agreement with Taipei in September 2011. The U.S. company can also directly gain from Taiwan's membership in TPP. By including Taiwan in the TPP, the United States would lend a much-needed hand to a faithful friend at a crucial juncture in our economic development, while also promoting partnership between U.S. businesses and their Taiwanese counterparts, enabling them to foray into East Asia's dynamic markets. The TPP, with its combined market scale and economic diversity, accounting for nearly 40% of the global output and more than 25% of world trade, including the world's largest and third largest economies, I think that offers Taiwan a meaningful opportunity to diversify and rebalance its external economic relations. Our joining the TPP is an issue of economic development and the prosperity that is fundamental to the basic economic rights and welfare of our people. Moreover, incorporating Taiwan into the TPP holds the additional benefit of rejuvenating the strong economic linkage between the United States and Taiwan and enabling Taiwan to maintain a meaningful range of choices in its foreign relations, both of which have strategic implications for Washington as well. Having Taiwan as a TPP member not only opens up more of Taiwan's domestic market to the U.S. producers and exporters, but also expand U.S. companies' access to other regional customers, multiplying the opportunities available to these transnational corporations. Therefore, including Taiwan in the TPP is an asset to the trade pact. The island can be a very important point that transforms Asia-Pacific economic relations into a seamless network. Some in the United States hold an ambivalent attitude towards Taiwan's pursuit of TPP membership. They observe first that Taiwan simply talks the talk, but fails to walk the walk, and doubt our ability to follow through on commitments made. Second, they believe Taiwan is no longer an important market for the United States. Third, they believe that mainland China's opposition makes Taiwan's TPP membership impossible. And fourth, they fear that other TPP members will not support Taiwan's participation in any case. To be frank, these excuses are unfounded. Let me dispel each of these misleading arguments for our U.S. friends. First, Taiwan has the political will and the capability to liberalize its economy and meet the high standards of TPP. Reason foot dragging over legislative approval of the service agreement between Taiwan and mainland China gives outside observers the impression that Taiwan lacks domestic consensus on economic liberalization. But nothing could be further from the truth. The current situation has resulted from a confluence of misgivings in our society about free trade and identity politics and cross-strait political mistrust. Add to these factors the reality that Taiwan's current integration efforts, for better or worse, start with its relation with mainland China. So you can see people should not be fooled by the apparent gridlock. Looking back a decade or so ago, Taiwan successfully concluded its WTO negotiations, and the legislature had no difficulty in approving those agreements. More recently, Taiwan signed an economic cooperation agreement with New Zealand, and it took only 3 months to obtain legislative approval. We expect the Taiwan-Singapore trade pact that has been already concluded 2 weeks ago will have no difficulties to be ratified by the legislative end soon. So I'm not suggesting that there will be completely unanimity on every aspect of liberalization, but from Taiwan's success in resolving our differences over imports of U.S. beef to ratifying the hot debate ECFA with mainland China, the track record we have established is clear. Taiwan's people generally acknowledges the importance of liberalization as an economic lifeline, and that the government has the political will and the capability to push for greater economic liberalization. Second, Taiwan remains the 11th largest trade partner of the United States and its 16th largest export market. Taiwan is also the 8th largest consumer of U.S. agriculture produce. By incorporating Taiwan into the TPP and further removing trade barriers, the importance of Taiwan's market to the U.S. producers and exporters is certain to increase even more. This is especially true given Taiwan's institutional affinity towards the U.S. and our cultural affinity with mainland China. These factors make our island an ideal springboard into the Chinese market for American companies, especially small and medium enterprises. The TPP opens up Taiwan's market while also enabling Taiwan to serve as an effective gateway to the rest of Asia and beyond. This shows that Taiwan's interest is very important to U.S. businesses. Third, mainland China's attitude towards TPP has changed. Beijing has recently expressed its willingness to study the feasibility of participating in the pact. Again, against the backdrop of improved cross-trade relations and institutionalized cross-trade integration, mainland China's warmer attitude toward the TPP gives it even less reason to oppose Taiwan's participation. Our position is that we hope the U.S. can help Taiwan to join the TPP negotiation. We also hope that the U.S. can invite mainland China to participate. Fourth, once the United States invites Taiwan to join the TPP negotiation, other TPP members will follow suit. Existing TPP members are all important trading partners of Taiwan. Each is poised to benefit from Taiwan's economic liberalization and has no reason to oppose Taiwan's participation. This is particularly true since mainland China signed the ECFA with Taiwan and has since responded beginning toward Taiwan's pursuit of similar economic pact with other countries. Our economic cooperation agreement with New Zealand and Singapore are good examples of the scope of liberalization Taiwan is prepared to consider under the TPP. Taiwan's bilateral trade agreement with New Zealand and Singapore, both of which are TPP's members, are comprehensive and of high quality. These two agreements, having been signed, augurs well for Taiwan's participation in the TPP. For certain, in addition to help from the United States, Taiwan will need to do its own part. Two high-priority tasks will be to forge a domestic consensus on the overall direction for long-term cross-strait economic relations and to lay out a policy roadmap of participating in the TPP. Deep mistrust between Taiwan's ruling and opposition parties has sometimes resulted in a gridlock of debate about a prosperous cross-strait economic relationship. But in fact, the two parties have more in common than most people think. Both want Taiwan economy to prosper, and neither wants Taiwan's freedom of choice to shrink. So this common ground should be enough on which to form a domestic consensus and to develop principles for guiding Taiwan's long-term strategy and objectives on cross-strait economic relations. The government and the main opposition party should cooperate to build a consensus which will diffuse tensions over cross-strait policies and turn Taiwan's cross-strait and regional economic integration efforts into a bullshit cycle. Second, the government needs to be more proactive in pursuing TPP membership. Knowing that TPP is both comprehensive and high quality in its scope, my government should not fool itself by thinking that everything can be resolved overnight once Taiwan joins negotiation. Instead, the government should acknowledge that to meet the TPP's standard of liberalization, a domestic economic overhaul will need to take place on a grand scale. This will require a stage roadmap for communicating with affected sectors, rallying domestic support, and preparing for unavoidable adjustments. By making clear such a roadmap and implementing the parts fully that are under Taiwan's own control, the nation will demonstrate that it is walking the walk with regard to pursuing membership in TPP. In this way, every year can be a breakthrough year in our bid to obtain TPP membership. Ladies and gentlemen, Taiwan today is a more valuable economic and strategic partner of the United States. U.S. support for Taiwan's participation in TPP is the first much-needed step in rejuvenating the U.S.-Taiwan partnership. It is time for Washington to act. I thank you very much.
You were quite comprehensive and substantive and spoke in great depth. You make a compelling case for Taiwan's participation in TPP. It's clear that you understand all the obstacles and the need to overcome them. We have just a little bit of time before Vincent has to go to his next meeting, and he is graciously agreed to answer a few questions. I will take two or three, and we'll address those and see how much time we have. Who would like to ask the first question? Over here, right here. Yes. Wait for the mic and identify yourself and state your question very clearly.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for such an informative speech. And my name is Jefferson Lee, an MA candidate in both international studies and international business at the Joseph Corbell School of International Studies. Well, since I noticed that you're also the honorary chairman of the Cross Strait Common Market, Foundation. Thanks. I'm just really curious about your opinion on the RCEP, which is led by China, and it's a major, and it has been seen as a counterpart of the U.S.-led TPP. And what's your, what do you think about Taiwan's, how Taiwan should handle both TPP and RCEP? Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll take one more question. Back here. The mic's coming around.
Hi, my name is Victoria Guida. I'm a reporter with Inside U.S. Trade. And I was just wondering if the Taiwanese government has formally decided that it wants to join TPP and whether you, sir, are speaking today on behalf of the government or just on your own stead.
Okay.
The first question on RCEP is RCEP is similar to TPP, but was initiated by ASEAN country with China play the role. So that is even lower quality and narrow scope of liberalization. But we also are very much interested in having the opportunity to join this RCEP. We have never said we don't want size. And we know, we recognize where the political reality that we have to overcome step by step. But RCEP to us probably will be easier standard than the TPP. So I say if we could join the TPP, then I think all the RCEP standard can be easily met. So this is why we set a high goal first. So the second question, it must be say that it's my personal opinion, because it's my personal speech. Speech by myself, prepare and drop myself. But I have been in the government for nearly 50 years, and I just left government last year. So I know what government's policy, the formulating process, that really it's not only the government, because Taiwan, after war, is a democratic country. All the government policy must have a strong support and embracing from the public, general public. And the entrepreneur here, they all can speak for me, that we are all on the same line. That we support this kind of this kind of policy. So, government of course has to take into account of all kinds of this political and also the interest part groups opinion. But we in the private sector. Of course, well, we also have to think about the overall strategy. But we believe that this is a time for Taiwan to seriously to take efforts to participate in TPP. And that is why we are here, also to share our ideas with and seek your support and assistance for us to go by this, follow this line. Well, thank you. So it's not official. It's not unofficial. It's Vincent's shoes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gentleman right there, and then I'll go over there.
I'm a Taiwanese American, staying in Washington, D.C. And in regard to its request for support for U.S., for Taiwan on the membership of the TPP, we are kind of wondering, Taiwan has been used a formula of a WTO name, so-called Taipan Chimanese. We are not Taipan Chimanese, we are Taiwanese. So what kind of name we will accept as a member of a TPP? Thank you.
Okay, gentleman back there, and then maybe I'll come here.
Ken Wen from TBAA. We all know the rewarding as a member of the TBAA is very clear. But I think they have two major challenges I'd like to find out. The first one is, you know, in Taiwan, they have an internal debate about the TISA. Okay, so the TISA is maybe a problem. And the second one is the Chinese obstruction could be a factor. As you know, Richard, he recently had a paper about this topic because the rewarding and the cost to be a member is we try to find a balance. So I'd like to hear your opinion about the TISA and Chinese obstruction. Thank you.
First, about the name of this participation or identity and so on. Well, we have to follow the WTO model. I must say we have to be very practical. Without that name, we would have no chance to be in WTO and in APEC. So this is the reality. So I personally, I think the most important is the so-called substance is very important. The substance, whether you are be in or not. If you are in, that substance can help your economy continue to grow and benefit your people. Economic strength is the survival of Taiwan. So we have to take that seriously. That is my point. Second question, TISA. If I am not wrong, we are the member of TISA. Am I right, Ambassador Dean? Yeah, right. And Minister Liang. So we are the member of TISA. But member of TISA is only enjoy or apply to the members only. And this service sector is now become a very important part of every country's economic structure. So if we want to trade globally, the TISA itself, of course, which we already have participated, but we need more. So TPP, RCEP, those are all very important organization that we need to adhere to.
Right here. Mic is coming. To your right.
Hi, Chris Faulkner McDonough with Zier Brothers Investments. I guess I have two questions. The first is a bit of a factual one, which is, do you see the biggest benefit from joining the TPP in the integration with the U.S. economy or with your other Asian regional trading partners, in particular, for example, Japan, Malaysia, and Singapore, who are part of the Asian supply chain? And the second is, I noted that you started off saying that you thought that the opposition to deregulation and liberalization could be overcome, and you pointed in particular to the New Zealand and the Singapore free trade agreements. What in those agreements specifically gives you comfort that your government can overcome the opposition to deregulation, in particular of, say, the financial sector, where it's heavily regulated, in need of privatization and reduction of the state involvement of that sector? Thanks.
This has to be the last question, please. I think we're just about out of time.
The second question, I have already in my address talk about this political differences between the ruling and opposition parties on cross-trade policy. For other countries, I don't see any big differences. Therefore, when we sign, we take efforts to sign this agreement with New Zealand and Singapore, we don't see that kind of a confrontation from the opposition as well as other sectors. So that is the reason why, probably because of this identity or political distrust, mistrust, or ideology differences, that requires the both party to sit down and see how we can resolve all these differences and develop a long-term policy guideline for our countries on cross-trade economic relations. That's all.
Vincent, I don't want to be responsible for delaying you to your next meeting, but I really want to thank you for joining us this afternoon and for dealing with a very important issue in a very substantive way. I want to thank your colleagues in the business community and Taiwan government for being here as well. This has been a real privilege for us, and we've learned a lot. Thank you. I'll see you tonight. Please stay in your seats so the party can get out quickly. We'll start the first panel in just a minute.